1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. 'For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.' Now, what the Lord has done sometime previously, and I was going through them in my mind, sitting in my seat, are six words that I would like to just comment briefly on. Every one of us here today, we would depart, we would go, and hopefully we would speak the word. You would, if I could use that word, share the gospel at whatever level, in the workplace, in the classroom, you know, students and neighbors, you would share, you would speak, if you prefer that, the gospel. I have a little concern that I think it's on our brother's heart as well, as to our presentation of the gospel and what is said in the gospel. And maybe young folk, maybe we all just need to be encouraged. And the thought here in our reading is redemption, isn't it? The thought of redeemed. And we love to sing, you know, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And redemption is a precious truth. It likely has a thought of initially of a slave market in slavery, and dear sinners are bound by the cords of sin, and they need to know freedom and deliverance from that. I was reading recently back in Leviticus chapter 14, and it has to do with a leprous person, the cleansing of the leper, and they were to take two sparrows, and one of them was to be killed, and then the other was to be dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed, the living bird, and the living bird was to be released. And I thought, well, you know, the little picture there of redemption, isn't it? Redemption, beloved, involves a price. Very quickly, it involves a price. And here's something peculiar and particular in the words that we would look at is the blood. Redemption, this setting at liberty, this freedom now is to be purchased, and it's the precious blood here of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is a thought. You develop it, the thought of redemption. I'm going to move on quickly to forgiveness. A number of passages again, number of illustrations. These are words that, like forgiveness, is already being brought to our attention in the conference gathering. Forgiveness. Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, forgiveness, that taking that which is... Actually, the thought in forgiveness is taking it away. You're completely loosed. And that was our sin that bound us, right? Forgiveness. And we love in turn. You know, that's a wonderful thing in Matthew, in Luke chapter 7. And you remember what went on in the Pharisee's house. And forgiveness. The woman coming in and anointing the Lord Jesus, and there would be those that would be critical of what she had done, but no waste on him. And what did Jesus say? He that loves, forgiven much, loves much. And that woman who was indeed a sinner, but forgiven. And this again is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, according to the riches of his grace. And so we say, just like Ruth coming in, you know, why have I found grace in his eyes? The favor then that rests upon us. So thought of redemption, thought of forgiveness. Another word that's been mentioned, justification. And where would you go? Well, Romans 5 and 1, that would be a good place, mention made. Therefore, being justified by faith. We saved, justified by faith. You say, where's the blood? Romans 5, verse 9 says, we are justified by his blood. So we have been... set apart as those that are righteous. We have a righteous standing now. Justified, made, declared right in the eyes of a holy God. You know, this was a big puzzle to Job. I'm going back and thinking of his question, Job's question. How should man be just with God? But you come over into the new, and there's a way, isn't there? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans, you know, it's really a courtroom scene. And how can a sinner there stand before a holy God? Well, who's introduced there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is justification. We can be declared right in the eyes of a holy God. Wonderful. That he could be, as we have in Romans 3, the just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Romans 4 and 3, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was justified in the eyes of God. That brings us forward. Think a moment of reconciliation. Reconciliation. I'm thinking now of Colossians. Mention it. Colossians 1. And verse number 20, we have peace through the blood of his cross, that he might reconcile all things unto himself. Again, the blood is being traced here. Reconciliation, it's the precious blood. Reconciliation, you know, beloved, there stood a barrier between, didn't it? But the Lord Jesus Christ has spanned that. He's come in. And reconciled man to God. Established that friendship. He's adjusted things. Reconciled to God. And what's he given to us? 2 Corinthians 5 again. Mention made of that passage already in the conference. And he has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We can go out and tell the world. Be reconciled to God. And it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, and again, his precious, precious blood. Now I'm coming to the word propitiation. Mentioned a number of times in conference gathering the propitiatory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, as I understand it, propitiation, it satisfied the heart of God. 1 John chapter 2, opening verses. Advocate, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And the value of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God. And it was an atoning sacrifice. You say, where's the blood? But let's back up to Romans again. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25. There it says, propitiation through faith in his blood. It's an interest that Mr. Newberry has in Romans 3:25. He has a mercy seat. Propitiation, mercy seat. Again, where's that going to take you? Maybe way back to Leviticus chapter 16. You know, you can get the picture of the thing again. The great day of atonement. On the great day of atonement, the high priest was to take of the blood. And he was to go into the holy of holies within, behind the veil, and sprinkle the blood on and before the mercy seat. And I like to associate this thought of propitiation with the mercy seat, and what satisfied God. You know, that was the meeting place, the inner sanctuary there, And that blood sprinkled mercy seat satisfied the heart of God. You know, we sometimes think in the gospel and put it this way, that if God in holiness can be satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, why can't the sinner, why can't I find rest there? Indeed, we have, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus. And so, the mercy seat, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, priest going in. The picture kind of falls down a little bit. The priest had to go in first with the blood of the bullock for his own sin, and then for the slain goat, the blood for the sins of the people. And then, I suppose there's a picture too, and in the fit man, as he took the live scapegoat and he led it away to a desolate, lone place, forsaken there, the scapegoat. You can maybe think of sin, because over the head of that little creature, that live goat, was confessed all the sins of the people, their transgressions, iniquities, and so on. And it was borne away. Our sins have been completely removed. Just hurriedly now. Another thought of these words and the gospel. What about sanctification? Let's go a moment, just in mind, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 12. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And what did he want to do? He wanted a people that was sanctified. Again, blood, that's the thread, runs right through. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ then, outside Jerusalem's gate, sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might set apart a people specially for himself. And beloved, those of us saved by God's grace, we come in to enjoy these blessed truths and the truth of sanctification. Positionally, we are a holy, saintly, sanctified people. Now I know, practically, just let me mention this in conclusion. Sanctification practically, that's important too, that we live it out. I'm thinking now like Jesus would, the Lord Jesus would say in John chapter 17, verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And there's a blessed ongoing work, practical sanctification in the life of the believer coming through the word of God and all that we've heard and listened to, all the words that have been spoken. It's what's it doing for us? In a unique way, it's setting us apart from the world and its ways, and setting us apart for God. Ephesians chapter 5, just coming to my mind in conclusion. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle. Past, present, future, right? Past, present, future. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Ongoing. That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word. The future, all glorious. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle. The Lord just bless the company, bless the word spoken for his name's sake.